Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services here at Kerwin Baptist Church, located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
In John chapter 14, if you look at verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, listen to what he just said. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, notice verse 2. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Okay, that's where he's talking about. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." He can't make it clearer. Now, notice, if you would, verse 4. "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Look at verse 5. "Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way?" Wait a minute. Jesus just told him. Look at verse 6. "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'd like to speak on this subject this morning. I am. It must have been that Thomas was daydreaming. Now, for a person that was very critical and was very thorough and questioned quite a bit, nothing wrong with any of those things except for being critical. But Thomas, we always consider him the doubter. But I think Thomas just wanted to make sure. He was very deliberate. He was very always kind of skeptical, always, "You got to prove it to me first," kind of a thing. And here Jesus just says, "This is where I'm going. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm coming back to get you." And then it's as if Thomas was daydreaming or napping or something. All of a sudden he wakes up and he says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we get there?" He just said where he was going. But in his patience, Jesus answers Thomas's question again. And he says, "All right, listen, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father." And to the Father is exactly where he said he was going in the first couple verses. To the Father. He said, "And no man cometh to the Father but by me." You say, "All right, preacher, I get all that. So what is it you're trying to say this morning?" I think you'll understand. Lord, we love you. We're thankful, Lord, for all that you do. You've been so kind and gracious to each of us. Lord, we love you. Lord, I pray you'd bless as we try to answer questions that are often asked this morning. In your name we pray, amen. When Thomas asked, listen to me, I want you to get this. Jesus made claims, and then Thomas immediately, after Jesus made claims, he immediately asked another question as if he didn't even hear the claims Jesus just made. And then Jesus once again answers that question. And when he answers that question, he answers three specific questions. And that's exactly the frustration, I'm sure, that Jesus has to deal with constantly. He's already made it clear in his word how to get to heaven. And then we here on earth seem to, although we have it, we ask again, well, we don't know how we're supposed to get there and what is really correct out there. Do you know there are individuals that literally sit under the preaching of a church like this one that still have doubts about the Bible? They still have doubts whether God's true, whether he really exists, if everything we in here is really correct. And he's already made the claim, and now he has to prove his claim again. But he answers three questions. Number one is this, and this is the questions that the world always asks. Number one, how can I be saved? How can I be saved? First question he answers with this: I am the way. How can I be saved? He answers it. I am the way. Now, there's two things under this I want you to notice. First, I see his claim. Second, I see his condition. His claim is this: I am. Now, this word am is the Greek word eme, I-M-E-E. Let me explain why this is a little bit different. It is, in biblical language, what we call first person singular present indicative. Indicative. We say, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you exactly what it means. This is a reference when he said, I am. This is a direct reference to the word Jehovah. Jesus just claimed that he was Jehovah. By the way, we believe Jesus was God. We believe God the Father's God. We believe the Holy Spirit's God. We believe all three are one. They're all God. And Jesus just referenced this. And let me tell you what that I am means in the, let me get it right again, the singular, present, first person, singular, present, indicative. That's fancy, isn't it? See, what is he saying? He's saying this: I was, I am, and I always will be. That's what Jehovah means. Now you say, preacher, explain this. Listen, what he's saying is this: I was the way, I am the way, and I always will be the way. Amen. Dear friend, you may say, well, how can I be saved? There's only one way. There has always only been one way. There is now only one way, and there always will be only one way, and that way is Jesus. Notice it did not say that worshiping him would get you to heaven. He didn't say worshiping him was the way. He didn't say obeying him was the way. He didn't even say believing him was the way. Listen to me. He's the only way. There's a lot of people, the Bible says even the demons believe he's God. And there's a lot of people that serve him and do things for him, and they think, well, I've done all this good in my life and that will get me to heaven. It didn't say that doing good things for him was the way. It said he is the way. So the only way is through him. So you have to have a personal relationship with him to ever get to heaven. So he looks at Thomas and he says this, okay, how, you know, you don't know where I'm going, I just told you. But he said this, I'm the way, the truth, no man cometh to the Father. So he answers Thomas's question, where am I going? I'm going to the Father. And how can you get there? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. His claim is, I am Jehovah, but notice the condition, I am the way. That means there's no other. Dear friend, I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus, in one short verse, it is to me the greatest gospel text that there is. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way but him. I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, and I'm not taking a whole lot of time, but I want you to notice, secondly, this. Second question is this: how can I be sure? How can I be saved? I am the way, all right? Well, then how can I be sure? How can I be sure that this is the way? How can I be sure that once I put my faith in him, that that's going to last? How can I be sure with all the other things going out there? How do I know this is okay? He answers that. He says, how can I be saved? I'm the way. How can I be sure? I'm the truth. I'm the truth. In other words, the only way you can be sure is if you know the truth. And Jesus said, all right, I am not only the way, I'm the truth. Okay, you say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I want you to look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Philip just looks at Jesus and he says, all right, well, let's see the Father. Look at verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father? Jesus says this, I am the truth. You keep wanting to see the Father. I am the Father. I am God. Me and the Father, we're one. We're both God. You say, okay, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I'm going to give you some passages this morning to prove that he's the truth. Now, I know this all hinges on the fact that you've got to believe God's word. But hey, if you don't believe God's word, what are you going to do after that anyway? You know, a person has to believe that this is God's word, or you're not going to believe what's in it. And if you don't believe what's in it, the Bible says you can't go to heaven. Does that make sense? So we have to start everywhere with, do you believe this or not? If you're witnessing to an individual and you say, okay, the Bible says, and they say, well, I don't believe the Bible. Well, there's not a whole bunch you can do for them. You can tell them, well, listen, you know, you need to believe God's word, but you can't make them. And if a person doesn't believe the Bible, then you don't really have anywhere you could take them because they're not going to believe what's written therein. But I'm going to give you some passages. Now, if you want to turn to them, I would love for you to. But if not, because I know some of you don't, I'm going to read them to you. The first passage is this, Romans chapter 3. In verse 3 and 4, listen to what it says. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? In other words, this. Hey, if some don't believe God, does that mean that the faith's not real? Look at me, dear friend. Even if you don't believe, it doesn't change the fact of what's real. Some people say, well, I don't believe that Jesus is God. Doesn't matter what you believe. You know, I don't believe that you have to go through Jesus to heaven. Well, it doesn't matter if you believe that or not. You have to. Your belief or non-belief doesn't change the reality. Okay? Now listen to what verse 4 says. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. You say, what does that mean? Number one is this. God is true whether I believe it or not. What if some don't believe? Doesn't matter. God is still true. Why is God true? Because the Bible teaches God is truth. God is true whether I believe it or not. Dear friend, I want you to understand there's a lot of things on the TV and a lot of things on the radio and a lot of things in the bookstore, and you're going to come across a whole lot of things, and everybody's going to act and appear like they know exactly what they're talking about. But I'm here to tell you there is only one truth, and that's Jesus. Amen. And if it's not based on Him or His Word, it's not true. Amen. Second thing is this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says this. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Now, wait a minute. You say, what do you mean? I don't need any. Okay. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Now, you say, preacher, break down that verse for me, all right? Listen to me. He's saying this. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And what this verse says is you don't have to have somebody else teach you. When the Holy Spirit's inside of you, guess what the Holy Spirit leads you to? If you follow the Holy Spirit, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, if you're allowed to be led of the Holy Spirit always leads you into what? Truth. The Bible says, the verse just said it. So, dear friend, listen to me. Not only God is true whether we believe it or not, but second, because God is true, God leads us into truth. Dear friend, it proves that God is true because once you're saved and God is in you, He only leads you to truth. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Listen, when you're saved and you read the Bible, that's why when people say, we say, hey, listen, just get in the Bible and read it. Yeah, but preacher, I don't understand it. Listen, get in the Bible and read it. Here's why. The Holy Spirit, if you're saved, that Holy Spirit inside of you leads you into truth. It bears witness. That proves that God is true. God is true. God's Word is true. The Holy Spirit is God. So when the Holy Spirit's in you, it's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. I want you to notice, thirdly, in John chapter 7, verse 18 says this, He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true and no unrighteousness in him. Listen to me. Third statement is this, the Son is true because God the Father is true. Look at me. Every other person, every other prophet, every other individual that has based religions around them, they all glorified themselves. Allah, Buddha, whatever you come up with, listen, they're the ones that got the glory. When Jesus came to earth, He sent the glory to who? The Father. Jesus says, those that seek their own glory are not righteous. But He said, Him that came and sent the glory to His Father, He is true. Y'all get it? Amen. Let me put it this way. If you remove Christ from society, you have communism. If you remove Christ from science, you have conflict. Because nothing makes sense. If you remove Christ from Scripture, you have an occult. Listen to me. Without Christ, you don't have truth. If Christ is not involved, there's no truth. If Christ isn't involved in government, there's no truth. If Christ is not involved in society, then there's no truth. Why are things getting worse? Why do we have all the problems? Why is it that government can't be trusted and this and this can't be trusted? Because for years we've been pulling Christ out. That proves that Christ is truth. Look at me. The more Christ you put in, the more truth you get. The more Christ you pull out, the more untruth you get. Listen to me, dear friend. How can I be saved? I am the way, he said. How can I be sure about that? I am the truth. Third question is this: how can I be satisfied? That's always the question. You know why the unsaved world is always looking for something to satisfy? They try partying, drugs, alcohol, things, possessions, vacations, homes, cars. They're just constantly going after something else. I try to when I can. I've been going a lot more lately, but I go to a gym and work out. And you can go to a gym and work out, and you can see these individuals that's their life. There are some individuals, I've never been to the gym. I don't care when I go, what time of the day, I haven't seen them there. And they see themselves there too. They're always looking in the mirrors. They walk up to you and like, is there something on my back right there? And they're always looking in the mirror, all this stuff. You know why? Because that's the only thing providing temporary satisfaction, my body. You see individuals that go out and, man, they're gonna get into this, and they go out in that boat, and that's their satisfaction, and hunting's their satisfaction, or golf's their satisfaction. Nothing wrong with any of those things, dear friends, but I'm here to tell you, the more you look to things, and all of a sudden this world finds out that all these things that I try, I mean, premarital relations, drugs, alcohol, whatever the case might be, and yet they find out after all that they have and do, there's still a longing for something else. There's just still something that doesn't quite satisfy. We always see on the, if you watch the news, I don't even understand it now, how Hollywood people are the news. You know, it used to be that political stuff or whatever that happened in the country, if somebody had a fire in a factory, that was news. Now, if so-and-so got drunk at her movie premiere, that's news. Who gives a flip? But you'll find out nowadays, all these stars have all this money and all these things and all the fame and all this stuff. Man, they're hooked out on drugs and trying to kill themselves and going one meltdown after another. And these reporters say, I just don't understand. They have everything. No, they don't have everything. They don't have the one thing that satisfies. You say, all right, well, how can I be satisfied? I am the way. How do I get saved? I'm the way. How can I be sure? I'm the truth. How can I be satisfied? This is what he says, I am the life. Now, there's a lot more in that than you think. That Hebrew word life means zoe. It's spelled D-Z-O-A-Y. Zoe. Now, listen, you gotta get this. This Hebrew word for life, zoe, means this. It means to quicken as an immortal soul, as opposed to plants, animals, etc. Some of you are getting nervous. I'm not going to get on the animals today. Supposed to have had a picture to present today, but it didn't work out apparently. But listen, I love animals. If you could just ride around with me. I ride in cars, birds, deer, everything. Find my vehicle. They just sense the love. But dear friend, God created the plants. God created things. He only breathed the breath of life into one individual. And because he breathed the breath of life into man, that made man a living soul. He didn't breathe into Fido. He breathed into man. You say, all right, our animal's going to be in heaven. I don't know. Let's just leave it at that. I don't know. I'm not going to make a claim this morning because I don't want, you know, I don't know. I could be right, could be wrong. Who knows? Who cares? I'm just going to be glad to be in heaven. Amen. Could you still be happy in heaven if your dog doesn't go? Yes. Some of you are like, I don't know. Real spiritual crowd. What are we going to have? Holy pads sitting around in heaven? What in the world? I don't know. Maybe dogs will be there. I don't know. Let's just say. But listen to me. How did I get onto this? This word life means immortal life. Now listen to me. It means this. When God says, I am the life, it's not like a plant lives. You know, when you get a plant and you take it home, a real plant, this isn't a real plant, obviously, but if you take a real plant home, it lives, it grows. But you get fertilizer and you take care of it and you water it and all that stuff. That's not the life God is talking about here. It's a different kind of life. It's a quickening life. Now, this word life means three things. Number one, it means a quickened life. Let me give you a verse. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So when you put your faith and trust in Christ, he is the life because he quickens you. He gives you a quickened life. Second, he gives you a quality life. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more what? Abundant. So not only this word life means that I'm quickened, but also I can have a quality life, abundant life. But third, it means that he can give you a qualified life. Now, look at verse 6 that we just read. Look at verse 6. Jesus saith to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look, no man cometh unto the Father. So there is a qualification that you must have to get to heaven. And the only qualification is Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through good deeds. Didn't say that. No man cometh unto the Father except he be baptized. It didn't say that. Dear friend, baptism is an ordinance of the church, but baptism does not save you. There's only one way. So how can I be saved? I'm the way. How can I be sure? I'm the truth. How can I be satisfied? I'm the life. Now listen to me. He's the way, that's for lost people. He's the truth, that's for learned people. But he's the life, that's for longing people. Let me say this and I'll be done this morning. You and I were born with an eternal existence. But God gives eternal life. Everybody look up here. I want you to get this. I know you're hungry, and we're almost done. We got wonderful baby dedication. You're going to enjoy this. Look at me. You and I were created with an eternal existence because he breathed the breath of life into Adam. And now we all have eternal souls. You've heard us preach ever since the existence of this church. You will spend an eternity either in heaven or hell. One of those two places. Look at me. We were born with an eternal existence, but God gives eternal life. Now let me read you a verse. Matthew 25:46. Now listen. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. It didn't say into existence eternally. Into life. Listen, it didn't say you'll never find in the Bible that those who die without Christ go to life of judgment. No. There's the word life's not ever used with that. Because there is no life apart from Christ. It's just an existence. It's just a soul that won't die, and there's constant torment and pain and suffering and judgment. But if you have been saved by the grace of God, because he is the way and because he is the truth, he is also the life. You don't just have to have an eternal existence. You can have eternal life. And there's a huge difference between the two. In Hampton Court Palace, this is in London, they have a maze built of hedges. It's one of the biggest in the world. And you'll go through and, you know, you have corn mazes here and different things. This is a lot different than that. You know, this is where they drink with the pinky up and, you know, it's very fancy. It's one of the biggest in the world. And little Lord Fauntleroy goes there, you know, whatever, I don't know. They have this huge maze built, and you try to make your way through it, and all the different mazes kind of merge in the middle, and then you choose from there where to go. Like wherever you start, it kind of goes around and gets to the middle, and then it goes on to get to the end. We've got numerous choices. And they've done that for years, but there's this bench sitting in the middle of this maze. And when you go through, you sit down on that bench, and it allows you time to rest, to ponder, to try to figure out which way you're going to go if you've already tried two ways, and how am I going to go this way? And you say, but if you've absolutely given up and you just realize, I can't find the way, they have a bell on a post by that bench. And if you sit there and you're tired and you say, I just don't think I can do it, I've tried to figure it out, I just can't, you just, gong, gong. And a man that works there will appear there in the middle and will lead you out of that maze because they know he knows the way. Dear friend, what there might be some of you sitting here today that need to do, you need to just ring the bell. And say, you know what, I can't find the way. I've tried to find, I've searched, I've tried everything there is to try. And you just need to surrender and say, all right, Jesus, you're the way. You lead me. I'm the way, how can I be saved? I'm the truth, how can I be sure? I'm the life, how can I be satisfied? Lord, we love you this morning. And Lord, you know we just simply wanted to preach a salvation message this morning to make things as clear as we can. I know, Lord, there's a whole lot of confusion. Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, I don't know if Thomas just didn't hear you, but part of me is glad that he didn't. Because when he asked, you gave this verse. It's as if, Lord, you realized that there were going to be people doubting for an eternity and that you had to make it clear. Lord, I know that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. And Lord, it's how we get saved, it's how we can be sure, and it's how we can be satisfied.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from our broadcast. The Kirtland Baptist Church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kirtlandbaptistchurch.com. Enjoy our services live and all our media on our website and church app. Thank you for listening to the Kirtland broadcast today. God bless you.